imagine, I mean, just imagine for a moment being Jesus. The power to heal and to cast out demons and to do all sorts of miracles. A brilliant, anointed preacher. The sort of person people just wanted to have around, well, at least most of the time. So many things he could have been doing. How did he stay focused on what he was called to do? Now that's a good question. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at life from a different perspective. You know, one of the easiest things in this world is to get distracted, to be drawn out of the game that we're meant to be playing by all these other good things out there that need doing. After all, in this day and age, there are so many, many distractions. Now, I'm a pretty focused person. I pray, I figure out the objective, and then no matter how hard the going gets, I tend to drive hard towards a goal. Whatever that is, that's in my nature, my personality type, if you will. But for someone like that, the easiest thing in the world is to take on too much. See, I see so many good things out there that need doing, so many people that need a hand with this or with that, and I'm kind of addicted to the joy of helping other people. Not because I'm some fantastic guy, not at all, but because in the last decade and a half of walking with Jesus, I've discovered how much fun it is to help other people along the way. I mean, it gives you such a buzz. So whoever we are, however we happen to be wired, whatever our motivations are, it is easy to get distracted. So imagine how it must have been for Jesus. Preacher, healer, such great need out there. So many people who needed healing and teaching, and so many people who tried to lead him off course. Today we're going to spend another day at the office with Jesus, and there's a powerful lesson here for you and for me in how he dealt with all these competing pressures. Now let's pick things up where we left off yesterday. We saw how Jesus had a really torrid time of ministry. He'd been preaching in the synagogue, and then he healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then probably planning to have a quiet night, but the crowds came to Peter's house, and he healed more people and cast out more demons. Now, I haven't quite done that sort of thing in the same way, but I can tell you, when you're visiting a large church and you're preaching and then meeting people and praying with people and listening to their stories and their pains and their hurts and praying some more with them, as rich and as satisfying as that is, it is also exhausting. I come away from that sort of a day delighted that I've had some small part to play in the lives of people, awestruck many times at how God's moved in people's lives, but just plain, flat out exhausted. Let's take another look at Jesus' day. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon Peter's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her immediately. She got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each one of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Messiah. I mean, those few short verses in Luke chapter 4, you can see it was pretty flat out. I mean, he was tired, he was exhausted as the sun was setting, and he was hoping probably for a quiet night, watching the news on TV, early to bed, a good night's sleep, and all these sick and demonized people showed up. It's easy for us to get the impression that this was no big deal. This was, after all, Jesus. But man, healing the sick, dealing with demons, preaching, it was a hard day at the office. So the very next morning, what does Jesus do? Does he sleep in Sunday morning? Does he head down to the local cafe for a latte and pancakes? Let's catch up with him here. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowds were looking for him, and when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus often went into a deserted place early in the morning to pray, to be with his dad in heaven, to recover, to recuperate, to recharge his batteries, spiritual and physical. How many of us ever consider that it's in that deserted place, alone with God, that we can recover, There have been times in my life where I've chased for that peace and rest at cafes and holiday resorts and all sorts of places, only to discover the only place you find that rest and that recuperation is in the presence of God alone in a deserted place. If that's you, can I point you to a recent teaching series that we produced here at Christianity Works? It's called O God, I Need a Rest. And you'll find it online at our website, christianityworks.com. That's for anyone who really needs a rest. So, here's Jesus resting with his Father early in the morning instead of sleeping in late because he knows that this is where his rest and replenishment is to be found. But even here, the crowds come after him and they find him in this deserted place. Well, it used to be deserted until the crowds showed up, demanding more and more and more. And what were they after? They wanted to prevent him from leaving. Now, God may well love Jesus, but they had a plan for his life. And that plan was to hang on to him. Sure, there were all these other towns and cities that hadn't heard the good news. Sure, there was need everywhere, but they wanted him to stay with them and set up his own rabbinical school in their town. Jesus, we've got a plan for you. Let's set up this mega synagogue here in our midst. Imagine how good it's going to be. They knew a good thing when they saw it, and they wanted to hang on to it. But what did Jesus say? I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. His dad in heaven had placed a call on him to go and preach the good news across all of Judea. Not just here in this little place, Capernaum, but right across the land. It must have been so tempting for Jesus. Can you imagine? He had no permanent place of residence. He had no permanent income. It must have been really tempting to think, wow, you know, we could set up a place of residence and ministry here, and maybe, you know, God will bless it, and maybe we'll have this big church and we'll grow it and we'll make it better and it'll get more comfortable. It would have been really tempting, wouldn't it? But Jesus was called to something else. Jesus was called to go and tell all of God's people the good news. Jesus was called to go and get nailed to a cross. Friend, I can't tell you the number of times people have come to me and approached me with all kinds of tempting offers. Come and pastor our church. Come settle down here with us. A safe, regular income and a congregation and all of that. But the call of God on my life is to be here with you right now. And frankly, it's a much harder road. It's out on the edge, walking by faith. It can be a lonely place sometimes and a challenging place. But it's the course God set for my life, and I need to stay on that course. And it's Jesus that inspires me to do that. He knew the plan for his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. He knew it by God's Spirit in him. He knew it by faith. Because he'd laid all his glory aside to become one of us. You had to lay hold of it by faith, the way that you and I have to lay hold of God's plan for our lives by faith. Friends, the focus of our Lord Jesus Christ, not on all the things he was capable of doing, not on all the things he could have done and other people wanted him to do, but on the journey that his Father had laid before him, that focus is what inspires me. It's what keeps me going. And my hunch is, that's exactly what God wants it to do. Social media, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one simple, practical, and powerful way that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, be encouraged and blessed, and share some of that
with your friends too. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time on Monday, with a different perspective.